This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the best bits, just the bits. I'm Morgan, and I'm breaking down the Bobby Bones show from this week. These are the best seven segments that y'all either engaged with a lot, called in about, or just had a lot of opinions on. Whatever it may be, that's why they're on here. We're kicking things off with number seven. Everyone shared a popular TV show that they have no interest in. And it was really funny to see the comments on this one on social media, because everybody has favorite TV shows, but that doesn't mean everybody else is going to like them, right? And that's kind of what this segment is all about, and everybody shared theirs. And you know, there's one show I have to say that I never got into, and it was Euphoria. I tried the first episode and I just couldn't do it, and it was super popular. Everybody was watching it, so I'm still shocked. Maybe I need to give it one more go, but that's the popular TV show at this point I have no interest in.
Number seven.
We'll talk about what show you really don't have an interest in watching, even though it's super popular right now, in just a second. But the reason we're talking about it is because The Mandalorian has 84 million views in 24 hours as far as the trailer goes. Now,
wow.
I bet you The Mandalorian's really great, but I never watched Star Wars. I never got into The Mandalorian. But Mike D loves The Mandalorian.
I love The Mandalorian. I think if you even haven't seen any Star Wars movie, you could get into this
really?
Show. Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with the Star Wars storyline, really.
But like I don't really have an interest. Okay. But I bet you it's good.
Yeah, of the kind of shows you like, I think you would be interested in this.
Come on.
Give it a shot.
Is it annoying to you that there's not a big contingent of Mandalorian watchers here on this show?
Yeah, nobody else watches this show except Eddie.
Do you watch it religiously, Eddie?
No.
You just catch
like, it? Like, I saw the preview for this, and I'm like, oh, maybe if I get there. I'm watching some other shows right now. Maybe if I have time, I'll watch it.
But what about the first Mandalorian?
Saw it. Loved it.
But did you watch it every week, like waiting for it?
No. No, my son watched it first. He said it's good. Then I watched it with him again.
Have you watched the butcher knife wielding hatchet?
I saw the preview. He's like, I was in Dogtown. I was skateboarding. And then, wow. And then he did a little message before. He's like,
peace and love. Everybody's worthy. Everybody's worthy.
Dude, that looks so good.
It's a one-shot deal. It's not an episode. It's a documentary.
Yeah, it popped
Kai,
up.
The hatchet wielding hitchhiker. And the fact that you guys won't watch that, because you should. It's awesome.
I want to.
Yeah, you should watch that. So what show is it? And I'll give you a show of mine, which is White Lotus. Like, I don't really care to watch it. I'm sure it's good. I've never seen an episode. I have no interest in going to pursue White Lotus.
You would love it, though,
yeah.
Bones.
Probably.
You would love it. Great storyline.
So what show do you have no interest in watching that's popular right now, Amy?
Whatever followed Game of Thrones, the new one.
Yeah, but you never watched Game of Thrones, so I just wouldn't expect...
Exactly.
You would like that one.
Exactly my point.
Not gonna watch that.
But I wouldn't think you'd like a prequel or a sequel if you didn't like the original, but it's really good.
Amy.
But you can watch that and really like it.
But what's it called again?
House of Dragon?
That.
Oh, it's so good and so simple compared to Game of Thrones, which was like studying trigonometry. Because I got that. I was like, oh, I'm tired. I need to check out.
Yeah, I didn't like trigonometry.
I've been cramming all night. You're back in school, Bobby? No, watch Game of Thrones. Eddie?
Yellowstone. Come on, man. I was a cowboy. My dad bought a ranch when we were in middle school. You know, like, dude, I'd rope cows and stuff and, like, live that life. I watched the first season, like, half of the first season. I'm like, I don't want this.
Why?
So unrealistic.
I think you'd like it. It is a little corny at times. Yeah. I think if you stayed with it, you'd like it. But that's a good example. You have no interest, but it's very popular. We all love it.
All the cowboys, they go in the little house and play guitar and sing. Get out
they
of
don't.
Here.
All one does.
Stop it. Get out of here.
Okay. Lunchbox.
Eddie stole mine. It's Yellowstone because I watch it and it seems so corny. And it reminds me of the TV show Nashville. When it was on, everybody loved it. And I would see the previews and I was like, that looks so corny.
I like Nashville. Same. It was corny, though. It's almost like if you know it's corny, you're not turned off by the corn.
And so that's why, is Yellowstone the same way? Because when I see
Yellowstone
the commercials,
gets a bit corny sometimes, but it also makes up for it with like fighting and dramatic
intensity.
And love. And
a lot of drama.
Yeah.
I like it. I like Yellowstone a lot. I'll be honest with you. It is corny at times, though. Yes. Raymundo, any show that everybody likes?
Yeah, Breaking Bad. I just feel like it would make me more interested in drugs, and I've never known anything about drugs, so I don't want to be a part of that.
You think you'd go to being a meth user immediately?
No.
You'd be like, dang, Walter White's got it. Okay.
I feel like I would research it a little bit, and it's just not the path I want to go down.
Interesting.
It's good, though.
Yeah, it's really good. It's also not a new show.
Yeah, it's not really popular now.
Because I would have went with, like, The Sopranos. I never watched The Sopranos, and I'm sure it's amazing, but I really had no interest, and I'm not going to get it. Friday Night Lights, same thing.
Oh, dude, don't do that.
I know, right, but I have no interest. There are all these new shows that I want to watch.
Right.
When it goes to old shows you never watched, Amy, don't say Game of Thrones, because if you do, I'm going to dump your table over.
Okay, give me a second.
Okay, Eddie?
Game of Thrones.
Did you watch Dexter?
No.
So
Dexter,
good.
Never watched that one. House of Cards, never watched
that one. That's good.
House of Cards is good.
What's the one with Kevin Spacey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Yeah,
it's real good. But he then whenever he got in trouble and they came back without him, it wasn't that good.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then I was like.
But he had to go.
Yeah, he had to go, but I've missed him.
Entourage? You guys love that one.
That was such a good show.
Never watched that one.
And that was for the time, too, but that was awesome. I can't believe you didn't watch Entourage. Amy, did you come to anything?
I feel like most of the old ones, like I was late to the Grey's Anatomy train. I didn't watch a lot of it for years, and now I'm in it.
That I didn't care about was the one in the 50s with the ad agency.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
That's the one I was going to say, Mad Men. And then another one, Downton Abbey, whatever that
is. I tried it.
Downton Abbey.
I
don't know what language they were talking. I had to put it on closed caption or whatever. And
I think it's English. Bro.
Yeah, I struggle with it, though. Okay. All right. I'll be honest.
A show I can't get back into with the new season that came out, and I'm like, I was so invested. But I've tried to start the latest season of The Crown, and I can't. And it should be the most interesting and fascinating because Princess Diana, and I can't quite get there, and I don't know why.
I didn't watch the new Dexter on HBO, not because I haven't wanted to, just haven't thought about it. Like when it comes to passion things. I'm in the middle of a couple other shows now, which sometimes I don't want to say what I'm into on the show because I don't want people to spoil it for me. And then when I'm done, I'll be like, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Smart.
I didn't watch the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff on Netflix.
Nah, not going to do that.
Don't.
I think I would have, but Caitlin was like, I don't want to watch this.
That's like what Ray's saying, put you in a dark place. I don't want
to. I don't want to be a mass murderer because I'd watch it and I'd go,
yeah,
kill people.
Exactly. What was the one we watched? Ted Bundy. That was the one
that was good, though.
That was good.
Yeah. That was good.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
The show also discussed their favorite artists they loved as a kid. Somebody that they really couldn't get enough of. They were a stan of them. And then, are they a stan today? That was the topic of conversation. And it turned into, who was your first concert? Who is the most recent concert that you're going to go to? It was a really fun conversation. And that's what's happening right here at number six.
Number six.
Question of the day. Who was the first band, artist, musician that you were really into as a kid? That they were like your first favorite. And are you still into them? Amy.
George Strait. And yes.
Why George Strait? What influenced you to love him? Because you had to be a kid. How old do you think of you?
Oh, 7, 8, and then on. I would say my dad loved George Strait. My uncle worked for him at the time. So I think I managed his ranch. And so being, you know, a Texas girl, my dad's South Texas. So it was like just lots of tie-ins. So we listened to a lot of George Strait and loved it.
Yeah, if your uncle works for him, that's pretty cool. And you met him as a kid?
Yeah. And I wore, it's so embarrassing. We went to his ranch to visit my uncle, and I don't know why my dad let me do this, but I wore a George Strait shirt.
But how old were you?
You were a kid.
I was probably 10.
That's not embarrassing.
That's cute.
You don't cringe because something you did at 10.
Yeah, I do.
No, you can't. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It was over the, no, because he probably was like, oh, okay, great.
No, he's probably like, it's a 10-year-old. That's cute.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good. Don't hold yourself accountable.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
George, Eddie, what about you?
Def Leppard.
First ever.
My brother was really into like 80s hair rock, and he loved Van Halen, but I could never get into Van Halen. But when I saw the video of Pour Some Sugar on Me, dude, on MTV, I was like, this is my band. I was probably, what, 7 years old? Loved them.
Do you still love them?
No. I mean,
if they came to play a show,
no.
Would you go if tickets were free?
Yes.
On a Tuesday night?
No, probably not. I had to say no for that.
Lunchbox?
It's Tina Turner, and it was all because of my mom. We were driving to Chicago to see her parents, and we stopped at McDonald's, and you went through the drive-thru, and you got a combo meal, and for $2.99, you could get a Tina Turner Greatest Hits cassette or some other person, and my mom was like, we're getting the Tina cassette, and we listened to it all the way to Chicago. And I was like, this lady is phenomenal. I was 11 or 12 years old, first time I'd really listened to music, and I was like, this is it.
You were 11 the first time you heard music?
There was no music before then.
No. That I really, I didn't ever sit around and listen to it. Like, I didn't have...
But it never just played, and you never had favorite songs or anything?
No. Like, my parents played records all the time, and I just didn't pay attention. My brother and sister were really into New Kids on the Block. They loved that. Every time we got in the car, they'd play that
Your
tape.
Brother did?
Oh, yes.
Openly?
Openly.
Because I liked him, but I always... Hit it.
Yeah. Oh, every time we get in the car, like, oh, put it in. And my brother and sister would fight over Hangin' Tough or
Step by Step.
Step by Step. Yeah. And so they had each other, I want Hangin' Tough. And I'm just like, guys, what are we doing?
But Tina Turner made you fall
in love. Tina Turner made me realize that music could be cool. Mm. And I still love her today. I would drive 200 miles if I had to go see her. Mm-hmm. But she'll never perform again.
I was thinking about who I like bought a tape for or would record off the radio. And they're way different, but obviously Garth Brooks,
of course.
Where I'm from, in Arkansas, everybody was Garth all the time. We weren't in Oklahoma, that's where he's from, but still was close enough, and he's the greatest. But then, and I didn't have any older siblings, but presidents of the United States of America. Moving to the country,
gonna eat a lot of peaches. You love that.
That was my first, like, I found it on my own and could not get enough and pursued it just because I was like, this is the greatest sound ever. And I found out the guitarist played a 3-string guitar. That was it. He just had 3 strings on. And they had this and Lump. Remember Lump?
Probably. You know Lump, Amy.
Lump said alone in a boggy marsh, totally emotionless except for heart. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
Yeah. Is that Lump?
It's Lump.
It's Lump. Lump.
She's in my head.
Yeah.
I wasn't. It was funny. It was fun. It was catchy.
Very different.
But you see them now, or you would?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I drive 200 miles.
I know. It's like, that's a good way to.
I don't know.
To gauge if you're a fan.
I love the presidents of the United States of America. And I would buy their albums way after that. Little Dune Buggy in the Sand. I could do, oh, man.
Don't know that one.
So that's the first one that I found. But the one that was kind of put up on me was Garth Brooks is my favorite. Because everybody loved it, so then I loved it. We could do this all day. Diamond Rio.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I would go to church camp, listen to Diamond Rio.
Well, that was your first concert, right?
It was. Went to Magic Springs theme park and watched Diamond Rio, and I was like, this is the big time. Wow. First concert you ever went to, ever. Mm. Mine's Diamond Rio at Magic Springs, which was a theme park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Amy?
Amy Grant.
Do you remember who opened for her, by any chance?
Nope.
Eddie?
Clint Black at the South Padre Island Convention Center.
I remember that one. You said that one. Lunchbox?
Tina Turner, nice. Alamo Dome, 2000. Opener, Lionel Richie.
Oh, wow.
Snooze fest.
Your first concert was in 2000?
My first real concert.
Concert 2021. Chris Jansen.
Like, I went to Texas Country when I was in high school, but my first, like, real, like, concert, like.
But that counts.
Yeah,
Texas
that counts.
Country counts.
Okay, concert
then Robert
is probably O'Keen. At a dance hall.
Yeah, yeah, it was just, like, at a, that's no, what I'm saying.
Mine was at a theme park, guys, with, like, 200 people.
Okay.
Mine was in a convention center.
Yeah, you guys are acting like I went to Wrigley Field to watch Diamond Rio.
I should have shouted out Frank Irwin Center for Amy Grant.
Last concert you went to.
Ooh, this is tough.
I would be Stapleton right here at Bridgestone, and I mean, that was pre-COVID. I have not been to a concert since COVID hit and since it left. Have not been to see one artist. So Stapleton at Bridgestone, whenever that was, 2.5-3 years ago.
Amy?
I'm sure I have to have seen someone else since this concert, but Thomas Rhett and Dustin Lynch opened.
Eddie?
Man, I think the last time I went was Counting Crows with you.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
That was awesome, but that's really, well, what, 2 years ago?
I asked my wife, do you want to go to Counting Crows? Eddie and I? She goes, do you want to have your appendix taken out? I was like, no. Okay, there you go.
I don't want to go.
Because I do not want to go to Counting Crows.
That was awesome.
So Eddie and I went. It was amazing. That was a good time.
We were the only two that didn't sit down the whole time.
We did, and they were like, sit down.
No, we're not.
And they weren't, because not because they were angry. They just were old and couldn't stand up. All right. Okay, last question, quickly. The next concert you're going to, is it all on a list? Do you have one target? I do. Adam Sandler coming up. He's doing a show in town.
Oh, I got it.
Who?
I just saw Dave Matthews coming to town.
Really?
Dave Matthews is terrible.
I am going to that.
Dave Matthews is awesome. Amy?
I want to go to Taylor Swift.
Here? But you don't have tickets yet?
Well, we're out of town when she comes here, but I'll travel 200 miles.
200 miles, yeah.
Good luck.
Lunchbox?
My cousin's coming to town for Taylor Swift, so if I can get tickets to that, that'd be great.
Okay. Oh, he's going to be begging everybody. Oh,
I mean, I've been hitting up the bosses. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Taylor
Swift.
We're
going to be out of town when she's here.
No, we're not. She's here May 5th.
Oh, I thought we were out of town that weekend.
Nope.
Oh, iHeart's the following weekend. Yeah. What's up?
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Thursday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hardy stopped by the show this week to talk about his new album, The Mockingbird and the Crow, and I highly suggest you check this one out because halfway through the album, he goes from country genre to rock genre, and there's a song that's right in the middle that is half country, half rock. So top to bottom, this album is just so good. It's so different. It's nothing I've ever heard before. And I really enjoyed seeing the translation between the two genres for him and what that all looked like. So when he was on the show this week, he performed one of those new songs from the album. And you can check that out on our YouTube page at Bobby Bones Show. But he also shared a story about ghosts and paranormal activity. Basically, he collects a lot of artifacts and he thinks they brought in some really crazy juju to his house, so much so that there's been things that have happened and he can't explain it. So definitely hear this full interview and then go check out his performance.
Number five.
About to have Hardy right here in studio on the stage. Hardy's got a couple number ones that he has as an artist. I mean, not to count the ones he's written for other people, but you would know this song called One Beer. One beer turns into a lit cigarette burning into a tube. He's got a song with Lainey Wilson right now called Wait in the Truck. Here's a clip of that. He's a great songwriter, obviously a great artist. He's been out on tour with Morgan Wallen. He's got the long hair, the dark glasses. He's like a cooler version of me. Let's admit it. He's a cooler version of me. Here he is celebrating his new album, The Mockingbird and the Crow, that is out now. Here is Hardy. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Hardy. What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Good, man.
Good to see you again. I think I saw you perform a couple times, but I guess we haven't like seen each other personally in a while. But man, yeah. I tell you what. You go hard. It's awesome. It's like you go. It's really cool to see. I guess we talked on the phone. You told me you like believed in ghosts, or you texted something about ghosts.
I had a ghost story at my house.
Is this a real story or
it's a real story, man? I was always like apprehensive and skeptical, and there's some stuff that happened that I literally cannot explain. And I lived alone, so I collect Native American artifacts like arrowheads and stuff like that. And the short story is I found a place on the Cumberland River that was very potent, and the river had gotten really high for a long time, and then it dropped, and so basically it had shaved away a lot of the dirt on the riverbank, and which is what you do when you go look, right? You wait for a big rain and it washes away new dirt and you find arrowheads in it. And a buddy of mine and myself found this spot, and it was just, there was like a ton of broken arrowheads, a ton of arrow. It was just really, really potent and like fresh. And we both kind of had like we were like, man, this is like spooky because it's like the first time it's been revealed, you know, to the earth or whatever. Anyway, so we found some stuff and I took it home, and like a week later, man, I mean, there's a million stories. I woke up, all the lights would be on in the house. All my countertop appliances would be unplugged.
What do you mean unplugged? Like literally
from the plug.
Physically.
Like blender, toaster, microwave, lamp.
Was this when you had enough money for a housekeeper? Maybe they did that?
No, I lived completely alone. And it would be like it was on the night before, like when I went to bed, like a microwave. Nobody unplugs a microwave. And
were you drinking the night before?
No, dude. I'm telling you.
That's my thought.
Callie and I hung a big mirror. And the next day we went to look at the mirror, and there was a giant scratch across the front of the mirror. One night we were watching Yellowstone.
And there's no way you can justify the scratch.
I want to be able to, but I promise you I cannot. I have no idea how to justify it.
Okay, tell me the Yellowstone one then before I go on any further. Go ahead.
We were watching Yellowstone, and we heard a noise downstairs, and she was like, what was that? And I was like, it sounded like a chair got like scooted across the floor, and we had a chair from our kitchen table that had been like scooted like 10 feet out from our kitchen table.
Do you have a dog or a Roomba?
No.
No.
And when I tell you, like, I lived in Joelton in a house, in a cabin that's driveway was like a mile and a half long. In the middle of nowhere, nobody knows where this house is. Like, it's completely impossible that it was a person. Plus, the doors were locked and everything.
So, your theory, can't prove it right or wrong, is that it's possible that from your collection of Native American artifacts, you brought something home.
Yeah.
And why do you still have these artifacts?
So we eventually...
Because I dump them immediately. So as I thought that, I would get rid of them.
I had one moment. Callie quit staying with me because she was so freaked out. Because it was always something. Like, it wasn't just those things. Like, it was... Like, a light would turn on and off downstairs while we were awake. Like, it was crazy stuff that was never... It wasn't like poltergeist, like we saw anything or anything crazy. But I had one... There was 5 days in a row that I woke up at 2:59 or 3 in the morning on the dot. And the last morning I did it, I got up out of bed, and this house kind of, it just had a loft with a master bedroom, and it was really creaky. It was a cabin. And when I got out of bed and turned my lamp on, something jumped from the loft of my house to the floor and ran through the house. And I jumped out of bed. I literally thought somebody was in my house.
It was a big thing, like a human size thing. It wasn't like a mouse.
No. Okay. It shook the dishes in the dishwasher kind of deal. And I jumped up and like went through the whole house. And then we went, Callie was like, let's get some sage and just try to see if we can sage the house. And we saged every corner. And I went in there with a purpose and was very like stern and was like, if we have something of yours or blah, 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 like we're sorry, but we it's time for you to leave.
You said it out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, I laughed at it. I
felt like an idiot.
Yeah,
I felt like an idiot.
I would have too, yeah.
And we never had a problem again. But my mom, who has never told a lie in her entire life, would go out there occasionally. It was like a really pretty place, and my parents live here, so they would go out there to like hang out or something when I'm gone. And my mom said that she would go in that bedroom, the one with the mirror scratch, and that the lamp would turn on and off, and she would be like, okay, I'm leaving. And then as she would go to walk out the front door, that the lamp by the front door would turn on and off. After we saged it, it's almost
like an electrical problem.
It is a cabin, you know.
I mean, it could be a huge coincidence, but the chair scooting across the floor and the scratch on the mirror and the thing jumping from my loft, I cannot explain that. And it was 100% real.
And I can't prove that it's not real because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I obviously...
Do you not believe in ghosts at all?
In the form of how people describe them, I struggle with it. I obviously think there are things bigger... And my brain does not have the capacity to understand
right.
things that it simply has not seen? I mean, I think there's so much that we can't even imagine that we don't even know is out there.
I think science can explain it. I mean, we didn't know radio waves existed till like 100 something years ago.
That's a great point, but science then proved they did, so now we do. So I guess until we have some sort of machine that proves, so yes, and that is a valid point until I like counterpoint you with going, but then science did go, that's true, and so I don't have that, so I still can't.
Well, I think that a lot of it is like people think it's all like hocus pocus, and so they think it's silly to invest a lot of money and like time and to and you know invest in stuff that could try to prove that they were real, I think.
I can't prove that you're not right. And my only story is my grandmother adopted me for a long time. Very instrumental in all my life. Lived with her for most of my life. And she left me a guitar. And it was a right-handed guitar, but she played it in church. And she never took a lesson. And, you know, I went to a Pentecostal church when I was young before I went to a Baptist church. I grew up in a very rural town in Arkansas. And so she left it, and it was really all she had to leave. And I remember I was, like, talking. She had died and whatever. And I was like, okay, if you ever send me some kind of sign or whatever that thing. And the freaking guitar fell over.
Oh, really?
It fell. And I...
Dude.
Now, did I don't know. I don't know if I did something. I don't know. I don't think I kicked it, but the guitar fell over.
Yeah.
But I still struggle because I can't see it, touch it, feel it. Science sure. can't show me to just go, yes, it's absolutely true. But I can't tell you you're wrong. I just go, dang. Now listen to one more story. Lunchbox, tell him your story. And then you tell me if you think he's legitimate because he's held on to the story for 15 years.
So at my buddy's house who lived like four houses down from me, okay. spending the night one night, and I get up to go to the bathroom and I walk down the hallway and a ghost pushes me in the closet, locks the door, and it gets really cold in there. And I cannot open the door. And there is a ghost because we'd be there after school, and you would see footprints on the stairs and the front door would unlock and lock with us just sitting on the couch.
Really?
No one's touching it. And these guys do not believe me, but it 100% happened.
Well, because you also, I believe you, man. He also says
tell
that.
Tell him where the ghost touched you, though.
No, no, there was no touching by the ghost. I'm just telling you. It shoved me in the closet, and I could not get out, and it got really, really cold in the closet.
I can't prove it didn't happen, but he lies so much
right.
that just based on that alone, it's hard to believe it. Look, Hardy's here. You have a new record that's out. We have a lot to talk about music-wise. We kind of got on that sidetrack there. But so as far as – I would just imagine with you being such a prominent songwriter, and I don't know if you do this to yourself, but do you put extra pressure on yourself when you put out a project of your own because people know you for being a great songwriter and performer?
A little bit.
Because these songs have to be really good because we know – all the great stuff you've written for other folks, too.
No, I agree. I think that it has to beat the stuff that I've had cut on other people, or else people would just constantly be like, well, why didn't you put that out yourself? But, you know, my record cycle is usually 2 years, and so, I mean, I pick usually – I mean, it still has to be me, you know, but I pick, like, the best 10, 15 songs of those 2 years or so that for myself. But
do you
I,
have anything,
I feel the pressure for sure.
Anything you've held on for over a year that made the record?
Jack, I think, was the first song that we cut.
And that one you still stayed in love with even a year later.
Yeah.
Because that's hard to
that
do.
That was kind of the first song that, since the record's half country and half rock, that was the first song that kind of sparked the rock side of things. So that we kind of based, that's the cornerstone of the rock side of stuff. So we held on to that one for forever.
How do you do, because there are 17 songs on this. What's a good number of tracks? And then why do you cut it off? Or why did you add a couple more?
You mean just to make a record?
Yeah, like I mean 17. Why the number? Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think I had like seven and seven. And Joey, Moy, and Seth were like, let's see if we can get a couple more. And it just sort of turned out to be that way. And for it to be like a half and half thing, I wanted it to be like a decent amount on both sides.
You've really walked that line, though, because, again, you say, and I've heard the record too, half's rock, half's country. But there's also kind of a blurry... a few songs on there too that could be both, but I think you've created that space in country music where you listen and you go, well, yeah, sure, it's rock, but I could also hear this song. And in the opposite, I mean, you ever get those guys go, ah, you're too rock for this place, man?
A little bit. I mean, maybe not that like direct, but yeah, I mean, some of that.
When you're doing Hicks Tape, were people like, I don't know, man, this is a little too crazy. It probably can't work. Or did nobody care enough?
I wasn't big enough for anybody to care yet. But, I mean, I definitely feel like there's some apprehension, especially in the country world. I've actually been – the rock world's been super, super cool and has accepted me more than I honestly even thought they would, and I'm very thankful for that. But, I mean, there's definitely been a little bit of apprehension from some of my songs being too heavy or whatever.
You grew up – in a small town in Mississippi. What was that town like, and what did people listen to either on the radio or CD? Like, what'd you grow up around?
I grew up, well, Philadelphia's awesome, by the way. I, like, you hear a lot of people talk about, like, I'm glad I left that, you know, blankety blank town, but I loved my hometown, and a lot of people, most people in Philadelphia love Philadelphia. But man, my dad instilled rock and roll in me when I was like a little, like a really little kid. So I became super obsessed with it and classic rock until I kind of discovered like MTV and then could discover music on my own, you know? So I grew up listening to rock and roll, but country was around. But I will say, like, a lot of people loved rock and roll, and there were two or three, there was a weird little music scene, like a lot of like a weird amount of people could play instruments, and there were bands and stuff in this little small town. And so a lot of people, rock and roll was really big in my hometown, for sure.
In Philadelphia, Mississippi, did they have like a fake Liberty Bell?
No.
Like a Mississippi Liberty Bell?
No, Philly cheese. I've always wondered about that. The high school team wasn't the Eagles, like none of that,
that
stuff.
That would be funny. Yeah.
No, I've always thought it'd be kind of funny too, but we didn't adopt anything from the real Philly. I don't know why.
You are loyal, and you speak for Mississippi a lot, like I do for Arkansas, right? Like I have Arkansas Tech. A lot of what I do, I represent constantly and consistently.
Yeah.
Why is that so important to you to be the guy from Mississippi?
Man, I just, first of all, there's a lot of really big artists like Elvis, Robert Johnson, whatever, there's a million, Faith Hill from Mississippi, but there's not a ton, and I like making my hometown proud and making my state proud, and I don't know, man. There's just something inside of me that's extremely proud to be from Mississippi. I think it gets a bad rap and it's the butt end of a lot of, like, you know, redneck jokes and stuff like that. And I think taking pride in that is cool, as opposed to, you know, getting offended by it or whatever. But it's a state full of small towns. It doesn't have a city, and it's just really unique. There's like 1 degree of separation between everybody in the whole state. Like, you can meet some person that knows somebody you know if you don't know that person. It's really special.
I mean, you guys and us are like 49 and 50th in every poll. In every state. It's like Mississippi, Arkansas.
It's like the fattest, the most littered, it's like the most pregnant.
But only we can say that, and we can only make fun of that because that's us, right?
Yeah,
and if somebody else does, man, nothing fires me up like when somebody goes after Arkansas.
Dude, I'm with you, man.
So if you take your glasses and hat off, can you go incognito?
The goatee kind of gets me still. I've tried. I did Stagecoach, but I wore like a big Quicksilver hat and a mask and what are those sunglasses? The Pit Vipers.
The big flashy, like
but
80s.
It was so hot, man, and the mask. I like almost suffocated. But I did it. I did it for like a whole day, and it was. I did that, but I don't know. I haven't tried it too much, but maybe.
Well, I can't see, but I've done it before. Like, is your vision bad?
It's bad enough.
Yeah, mine is really bad, and so I've taken my glasses off to walk through like an event for our company, and even my bosses didn't know who I was. They were like, "Hey,
oh really?
No, had no idea."
You wear a hat mostly, don't you?
I mean,
half and half.
Enough, yeah, enough. Yeah. But I have great hair. Check it out.
Oh, I can't see it from there.
Yeah.
I thought you said you had gray hair.
No, great.
No, you have good hair. You have good head of hair.
Yeah, no, great. Yeah. I have gray hair.
I have some.
Great. You do? Do you have your hair on top?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a good head of hair.
Because you do have, wow. Oh, you have a great head. Wow, he has great hair too.
That's nice.
Mostly people that wear hats all the time are balding.
Dude, you get that from your mom's side of the family. Have you ever heard that? Like, if your mom's brothers had a full head of hair their whole life, then you probably will. And both my mom's brothers have and or had a full head of hair, so I think I'm in the clear. I think.
Do you ever plan to cut because it's not really a mullet, you just have long hair.
No, I just have regular long hair.
Has it always been that way since like high school?
No, I had like they call it the Bama bangs, dude. I had the frat boy like Justin Bieber thing.
I cannot see that.
I know,
all.
I'm trying to picture it.
You know what's annoying about Hardy?
I think I have a picture on my phone. I'll show you at some point.
So, and it's terribly annoying that Hardy was also an awesome athlete too. It's like these guys come in that are everything that I never was. Very talented, awesome athlete, can like sing, play guitar, creative. And it's like I should never even like this guy. I literally shouldn't like you because I have all this like childhood angst from people like you. But I do. I like you a lot.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's, look at me. I'm growing. Therapy, huh? How about that?
Good
therapy.
For you.
Hey, the name, the Mockingbird and the Crow, just why?
Basically signifies the struggle I have with the very watered down term is, you know, a country artist versus a rock artist. it talks about the Mockingbird singing songs that sound like other songs you've heard, which is kind of sticking to the format. And that bleeds into the songwriter side of me too, and you know, writing songs for the radio. And so maybe, you know, the struggle I have with, should I write more songs and sing more songs for the radio versus The Crow, which kind of is not as pretty, and it, you know, it doesn't sound as pretty as a Mockingbird, and it kind of flies its own path, and it's just a song that talks about the internal struggle I have with that. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Hardy. Hey, what do you do for, like, mental health? I would assume as an artist, I'm going to insert my story in your story. There are insecurities. You're a creative. You have times and spaces you need to go and be by yourself. Is any of that true, by the way?
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself insecure in certain parts of your life?
Maybe. If I am, I don't know if I know it, but I go to therapy.
Okay.
I have a therapist.
Good for you. What do you do for mental health? So you go to therapy.
You ever go away?
You have somewhere you want to go away to?
Yeah, I just got back from Mississippi for 2 weeks. I like to deer hunt, but like the Arrowhead thing, I recharge alone. So if I can spend like one day or half a day alone every week, that's like huge for me. I just to be alone with my thoughts and stuff. And I don't know, it helps me a ton.
How does your new wife do with that? Because my wife does not need to be alone.
Right.
I do. I'm very much an alone person. It took a long time before she actually understood it wasn't about her.
Right.
And not that she was ever deeply offended. She was just like, I don't understand. I was like, I need to be like alone for a while.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with your significant other. It's just all about you.
Did you have any sort of communication barrier there about that, or did she get it?
No, she's awesome. I mean, she and I did like the premarital, like, you know, therapy or counseling or whatever. And we talked about a lot of that, and most of the stuff we already knew about each other, but no, she's awesome. I mean, if, you know, like I said, once a week I can just be like, hey, I'm going to go do a thing and I'll see you tonight or something. And she's like totally cool with it. And she has her things too, you know? But yeah, no, she's super, super cool about it.
Any songs on this record have to do with being like in a relationship and in love?
I in Country is, the only love song on the record. It's the only song about a girl.
Well, I wouldn't expect like 8 or 9 or anything, but I figured at some point,
yeah, there's one.
You live a life and you create from it.
Yeah, sure.
So something would be in there about that.
Yeah, I Ain't Country.
So what is that one though? I Ain't Country. Like, what's the
it's
play
basically
here?
Like there the hook is there ain't no I Ain't Country, but there's a YOU, and it talks about like I know how to do all this stuff. I know how to build a house on a hill and just all these things, you know, it's got a country twist on it, right? It's got the good old boy redneck twist, but it's basically like, but what's the point of all that if I don't have somebody to do it for and to do it with? So it's like, there ain't no I in country, but there's a YOU.
I was flipping through the channels a couple weeks ago, and I saw you on wrestling.
Yeah.
And I have USA Network as one of my main channels. I'll flip through because my show's on USA. And so it just comes through, like you do your like radio channels, and I'm flipping through and I see you like going through the ropes, and I'm like, what is happening here? And then I worried you were going to get hurt because, I mean, I would assume those guys are, I mean, they know what they're doing and they're big and strong.
Yeah.
So how did you, is WrestleMania, you're performing at something, right? Yeah, or you did?
Royal Rumble.
You know what that is? It's where they come down one at a time.
Yeah.
And then they throw each other at last one. Oh, I just love Royal Rumble.
San Antonio. Yeah. We're doing that next week, I think.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you, how do you practice?
We rehearsed it. That's what everybody says. Wrestling is real, but it's rehearsed. And because that guitar was real, dude. That really happened. You know what I mean? And
so when a guitar gets broken over a human's back or gets, you have to hit him in a certain spot.
The guy was like, just hit me high. Hit me high. Don't hit me. He was like, hit me on the wide part of my back. But, and he was like, make sure it's just flat, like dead flat. And I remember him saying, the harder you hit me, the worse it's going to hurt. So you might as well like swing for the fence and really try to hit me as hard as you can.
Did you ever practice that guitar breaking though? Or was it a one-time shot?
I did. And they had this like stunt guy backstage and he put this like vest on and he was like, all right, give it a shot. And he was kind of like, I think he never thought I'd swung anything before in my life. And he was like, so when you grab it down here. I'm like, dude, I've broken guitars before.
And you play ball. You're a big baseball player,
like,
too.
I play baseball and stuff. So anyway, so he did it, and I did it as hard as I could, and it didn't break. And then they all panicked. This was like an hour before I was supposed to do it live. And now what they do is, I don't know, I'm going to say it anyway. They take the guitar apart, they take all the heavy stuff or the metal stuff from the inside, and then they hot glue it back together, which is still like, it's not like,
right,
you know, it's still
a guitar. It's still hard, yes.
But I did it, and then the guy like panicked, and he was like trying to coach me how to like swing it and stuff, and I was like, dude, I got it. And they had a different guitar, and it just, I think the one that they gave me at first was a little more put together.
Were you relieved when it broke, when it was live?
More relieved than I've ever been in my life. I was like, I wanted to be like, yes, right there. But it was awesome, dude.
Also, they should take the metal stuff out of a guitar. We don't need to be convinced. We know that these are great athletes.
Yeah.
We know. Can you imagine? Like, no, the guitar needs to be legitimate. Yep. You need to hit them with
actually,
every part
electric
of it.
Guitar, Les Paul.
Yes, please. Yeah. And then you came out, no injuries, no shoulder injuries, nothing. You're flying around a little. All right. Good for you. Good for you,
man.
Hardy's new record's out. It is called "The Mockingbird and the Crow." What are you gonna play for us there?
I'm gonna play a song off the record called "Happy." I think it's my favorite song on the record.
All right, here we go. Hey, you wrote that one by yourself.
Yeah.
Why? What inspired you to do that by yourself? And what? Like, tell me about the song. What it's about?
Man, I just had at one point I wanted to write like a children's book, and I was thinking about some ideas, and a publisher told me one time. We were talking about doing drugs, and we weren't doing drugs, but we were literally just talking about it.
A kid's book publisher once was.
He's an older guy, like older than me, and he was like, "Man, he was like, if there's any advice I have for you, don't use a week's worth of happiness in one night." And that always stuck with me. And it was in the time of like cutting the record, so I sent it to Seth and Joey and everybody, and said I really want to put this one on the record on the countryside.
That's awesome, man. The Mockingbird and the Crow, the tour dates. He starts in February. Go to HardyOfficial.com, runs all the way through spring. He's all over the place, but go check it out for The Mockingbird and the Crow with Jameson Rogers on tour with you.
Yeah, and a rock band, Blame My Youth, off Big Loud Rock.
We're going to wrap with this. These are five uncomfortable questions from listeners. Are Hardy's glasses real or fake?
They're real, very real.
Who pays when you and Morgan Wallen go to dinner?
Ooh, my record label.
Nice. He looks at them as he says that. Yep. Does Hardy drive a cool car?
Yeah.
This is where you answer what kind of cool car.
I have a Jack Roush edition F-250 Super Duty, and I have a camouflage-wrapped F-150 King Ranch with 38-inch tires.
That's a lot of gas. That's what I hear. That's a lot of gas. He buys a lot of gas.
And easy to spot.
So, not a car. Oh, I know.
Not the camouflage. You'll never see him.
I took the camo truck to my hometown to go deer hunting the last 2 weeks, and it was a huge mistake, dude. Yeah. It was a huge mistake.
Two more. What's the coolest part of Hardy's new house?
Oh, man. My like studio room. I love it. I have all my cool trinkets and stuff in there.
Arrowheads?
Yeah, tons. They stay in there, opposite end of the bedroom.
Probably won't go. And finally, how did Hardy get famous?
I have no idea. That's my answer.
Good enough for us. There he is, Hardy, everybody. Yeah. New album's out. The Mockingbird and the Crow. Go check it out. Go see him on tour.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Everyone loves when they can get out of some kind of ticket. And Bobby shared a recent story that he has with a police officer who issued him a warning instead of giving him a ticket for speeding. And well, we'll just let you hear how it all goes down.
Number four. The Bobby Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
Carly Pierce admitted to bribing a cop. She was doing one of those videos where she's doing makeup and telling a story. And she decided to tell a story about how a time she was trying to get to a show and she was speeding in Kentucky. She got pulled over. Gave her a ticket. She just didn't really pay attention to the ticket, kind of paid it. And I guess she got cited, though, for reckless driving, which is more major than just speeding. And there's more steps you have to take, and she didn't take them. So she got a warrant out for her arrest. Somehow, I guess she figured out the police officer got the warrant removed because she offered him concert tickets. And so I was like, oh.
I think she needs to be arrested now. It can't be. That cut and dry.
I don't know if it's that. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the story here, but that's what
somebody needs to tell on her. That kid who told on the school cafeteria lady needs to get a hold of this.
Yeah.
That can't be like that, right? I've had police officers that were super cool to me. If I were going 6 or 7 over, and I really don't speed, but there's one part of Arkansas that we drive through for me to get home. It's a town, and the cop pulled me over. Mm. And I think they pull everybody over that speeds. It's like a one street town. And the speed limit's like 35. And he pulled me over and he says, son, you're going 42. And I see these are out-of-state plates. where you're coming from. And you know they love to pull over an out-of-state
person. Oh, yeah. Oh,
I would. If I was a cop from a town and somebody's flying through from out-of-state, I give them two tickets. I give them the Carly Pierce special. I'd arrest them for reckless driving. And so I said, yes, officer. We live in Tennessee. We were driving home. I live here. And about that time, he does that thing where he like squints his eyes. And it's like,
wait a second.
But he doesn't say anything. And so he walks back to the back. And he comes back and he goes, I appreciate everything you do for us. And you're only going 7 over, so I'm not going to give you a ticket. But if you're going 9, I was going to give you a ticket. And I said, thank you, officer. I'm out of here. And then I accidentally, as a rental car, we were on gravel.
You peeled out.
I didn't.
That's what I'm talking about.
No. I didn't peel out. I wasn't used to driving that rental car that we had. Mm-hmm. And so, like, on the gravel. And Caitlin goes, What are you doing?
Watch me.
I was like, hey, this is the Bobby Boone Show.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Thursday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Good parent or bad parent, that was the topic of discussion when Eddie shared a story about how he has a rule at his house. And well, his son didn't follow that rule and ended up having to eat out of a trash can. Yes, a trash can. So I'll let you listen to this whole segment, decide for yourself if he's a good or bad parent. And the show was split. We had about half and half, and a lot of you online were also split on this topic of discussion. But, you know, it's fun to see everybody's different parenting styles. So if you want to see all the kind of different things people do and what they believe should happen with kids, just go to our Facebook page. There's a lot of opinions on there.
Number 3.
Let's do a segment called Good Parent, Bad Parent, because I feel like there's a fine line between that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a parent yet.
Yeah, it's a fine line.
But I watch you guys, and I feel like it's a constant struggle to know if you're doing it right, because there really is no right. And everybody interprets parenthood differently, and every situation's different. So it's time for good parent, bad parent. Eddie, you're up. What happened?
Okay, so I've been trying to teach my kids about not wasting food. This has been a big deal. Like, do you serve what you're going to eat? I don't make them clean the plate, but they serve their food. So whatever you serve, you've got to eat.
That's interesting, because it used to be clean your plate, and if you didn't eat everything, you had to sit there until you ate. And that was torture.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Even if I liked it, sometimes it was too much, and I'm so full.
Yeah, so when you serve your plate, make sure you're serving what you know you're going to eat.
I can only eat one manwich. Okay, so they go up, and they get their own.
Yeah.
And put it on. And what was up? What was for dinner?
I think it was like lasagna, and then there's always like a little bit of like a broccolis, and then blackberries.
That's funny. He said broccolis with an S.
Well, because it's more than one.
But no, it's still just broccoli.
I know.
So
and then like 5 blackberries.
Lasagna, broccoli, and blackberries. Balanced, okay? Nice.
Yes, very balanced. And then, so one of my boys, he doesn't notice that I see him not eating his blackberries. And he knows he has to eat his food. He goes to the trash, throws his plate away with the blackberries in there. So I'm like, whoa, what did you do there? And he's like, I'm done eating. And I pick up the plate and like, nope, look, there's some blackberries left. I'm like, you know the rule. You have to eat your food. You pick 5 blackberries. You have to eat them. Out of the trash, Dad? You have to eat them out of the trash. So I made him get them out of the trash and eat the blackberries.
How long until he ate all 5 blackberries?
An hour.
Oh, he sat there.
He's kind of a germaphobe. So I knew that, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be really hard for him.
Did you let him rewash him?
Oh yeah, sure, rewash. Of course, like yeah, just don't waste him. So he rewashed him, sat there in his hands. His hands were blue because, you know, blackberries just stain your hands. And he just kind of like one at a time stared at it until he finally ate them all.
So the question is, good parent, bad parent, because Eddie made his kid eat out of the garbage.
I mean, I wouldn't
no, you did,
say it that way.
But I do say it that way.
That's like literally what happened.
Amy, good parent, bad parent.
I don't want to call Eddie a bad parent.
But you can for the sake of the bit.
I know. And blackberries are expensive. Mm-hmm. I do mm-hmm. not like wasting.
We don't really think he's a bad parent. But this, it's a bit. It's
what
bit.
It's called.
I would not do it.
So you're saying?
Bad parent.
Lunchbox.
Good parent. You have rules in place. And if you go back on those rules once, guess what? You give them an inch, they take a mile, and they start doing it every night. I'm shocked you let him rewash them. I would have made him eat them. Like, if you want to throw them away, you eat them. I wouldn't have let him rewash them. So when you said that, I was like, a little bit of a weak parent, but I would say good parent.
I'm a big precedent guy,
mm-hmm.
just in general. I like them. I like to live by them. If someone sets one with me, I depend on knowing that's your precedent. We've set this. I'm going to on this show, we have precedents. Being late, being there for each other, doing your work. And if you don't, I can't let anybody skirt. And even myself. Like, great parent.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because you made the rule and you... Excuse me?
Hey, parents talking.
I didn't know great parent was an option.
Sorry. Good. High-pitched good. Good. Parent.
Oh.
Now,
okay.
The styles and techniques are all different. I don't know if I'd have thrown it in the garbage or I would have taken it out of the garbage. Maybe I'd have gotten five more, even though they are expensive. Doesn't matter to me. You did it. You set a precedent. Eat your blackberries. Maybe next time he'll get two, and then if you finish those, maybe he'll get a couple more.
There you go.
You won't waste. You guys hit us up, and if you have a similar situation, you can hit us with that too.
Wow. Thanks, Bones.
You went 2-1.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Amy, I'm shocked.
Well, the trash is what I really had a problem with. And then also, I think there's still a way to get them to understand without, you know,
no support from her,
Eddie.
Yeah.
Zero.
Hey, no support from her.
I just don't feel like that would end up backfiring on me later in life or something.
She goes to therapy, it's like, my mom made me eat all the garbage.
Yes.
I thought about
that. She made me eat the blackberries. I'd eat the coffee filter.
I mean, yeah, I already have enough of those moments where I know my kids are going to be in therapy one day because of me. But
thank you. And we'll go to the listener panel. Go over and talk to Douglas in San Antonio, who's on. Hey, Douglas, Eddie made his kid eat out of the garbage. What do you think?
I'm thinking he should practice what he preaches.
How so?
If he's got that rule in place, which is great, but is he willing to do it himself?
Eddie, if you serve yourself, do you eat every bit of food?
Every single thing. Every single thing. And if I accidentally throw something away, I have no problem eating it.
I've seen him eat out of the garbage here.
No problem.
Oh.
So if the same situation happened to you, you would do it as well?
Absolutely.
Would you let your son call you on it if he sees you do it and be like, Dad, there's a pickle in there and you didn't eat it?
They've done that before. Okay. So yes, they call me out on it and I do. I follow through.
Goose and gander.
And the goose.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
You're the goose, the kids are the gander. As long as you're rolling, setting an example of constant consistency, awesome.
Yeah, man.
That's why you're a good parent. Douglas, I appreciate you bringing that up. That's a great point. Thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. Take care, studio.
Have a good day, buddy. Let's go over to Deidre in North Carolina. Deidre, what do you think about the situation here?
Oh, my gosh. I think Eddie is, like, father of the year for that. Let me tell you what. I have four boys and one girl. And anytime that they want to turn up their nose at what I've made for dinner or complain about what I've made or not eat what I've made, the next day we're having rice and water day. I will make a pot of white rice.
Wow.
Let's go. That's what's for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, whatever you want. That's what it is. So 100% hands down, Eddie, father of the year.
Yeah, be critical of the food that we made.
Hold on.
Try that.
I get it. That whole segment, great.
I don't know what...
So let me get this straight.
Okay.
If your kids, if they complain about dinner or lunch or something that you've put effort in, let me get this right, Deidre, right? Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And because I'm very interested in this,
mm-hmm.
if they complain, they know that the next day, what's it called again?
rice and water day.
And
actually, I think we called it gratitude day or something like that.
I like that name. The name makes it better. Yes,
yes, gratitude. Yeah. That helps.
Have gratitude because what you have today sucks, so be happy what you get tomorrow.
Rice and water.
So for breakfast, what do they have served to them?
On rice and water day?
Yeah.
White rice and
okay.
water.
Cool. Okay, so there they go. And then they get home maybe as a snack after school. What are their options?
Rice and water.
Okay,
and they could have some salt if they want.
Oh, wow. Well, they get salt for it.
You can salt
so then for
rice.
Dinner, let's just say for dinner. They're hungry. Mom, what's for dinner? What's for dinner on Gratitude Day?
Warm rice and water.
Warm rice. So
yes.
Breakfast, it's cold.
This is the funniest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. And how many times have you had to actually do Gratitude Day?
I mean, probably once or twice, honestly, when they were younger. So they learned quick, like, to be appreciative of whatever. And I don't make crazy stuff. Spaghetti, tacos, lasagna. Like, I don't make crazy things, but my kids just early on seem to be really picky. And, I mean, we don't live on the high house on the hill. So, you know, we appreciate what mom and dad work for to put on the table. And I think that's what has molded them into, like, really great, respectful young men now. And my son is a sailor in the Navy. My middle son is going into the service when he graduates high school. They just have a very, they have an awareness for the value of things. So we don't just hand them things, and that includes food.
I love Rice and Water Day like I've loved nothing in so long. I just love it. I think that is it's the greatest. It's a holiday. In my mind, that's a holiday. It's
that
a holiday
you don't want to have.
Gratitude Day.
Deidre, that is... Yeah. I love it. Thank you for calling and sharing that with us. And your son's A+. Just appreciate what they're doing. I love this call. I put this up as one of my favorite calls in a long time. Thank you, Deidre.
Listen to you all every morning. Thank you so much for making our morning better. We appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you.
That's a good mom right there.
We can't be that. We can't be that.
No. We strive to be.
We can't be that. Also, you can't go up from here. So.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number 2.
Lunchbox loves a good reality TV plot line, and there is a big plot happening with the Chrisleys going to jail. And Lunchbox decided he wanted to write a letter to Todd Chrisley to see if he could go visit him in prison. Yes, this is all really happening. And if Todd gives him the okay, Lunchbox is free to go. Bobby's already given him the green light. So Lunchbox shared what he wrote in the letter, and he's going to send it off very soon. So in case you missed him penning the letter, you need to hear it right now because it's definitely interesting.
Number 2.
The only way Lunchbox can go visit Todd Chrisley in prison in Florida is if Todd puts him on a list. And we've told Lunchbox, if he puts you on the list, you can take off from the show and drive down and go visit him.
Awesome.
You ever visited anyone in prison?
No, just been visited in prison.
You weren't in prison. You were
jail.
In jail. And
oh.
That was a bit we did on the show.
That's different.
And you were out in 24 hours. that ain't the big house. That's a small house.
But they did very say different. My name over the thing and go to, you know, visitation room 2. And I walk in there and it was just like on TV where there's the window and you pick up the phone. You talk to the other guy on the other side.
He's a lawyer.
And
right?
It's like, yeah. And I was like, when they called my name, I was like, dang, my dad's here to see me.
It wasn't your dad, though, was it?
No, it was the lawyer. I had no idea who it was. I was like, how'd my dad know how to find me?
Lunchbox got one call out of prison. Jail. Sorry. Now he's convinced me he was in jail. We did a bit, whatever. Lunchbox went to jail and he got one call and he called me. And so I had to call his parents and be like, hey, Lunchbox is in jail.
Oh, no.
It's a weird call, man. So Lunch wants to go visit Todd Chrisley, and I think that's awesome. And Todd was a guest host on our show. We know Todd Chrisley. We didn't know what he was up to, but we know. So to go visit, he's got to be on a list. Todd's got to put you on a list. The only way we can get a hold of him is by writing a letter. You've written it. How long is it?
It's not that long.
Okay. Here is Lunchbox's letter to Todd Chrisley with the intention of getting on a list to go visit him. Okay, here we go.
Todd, I hope you're doing well and settling in and getting comfortable in your new dig. It's Lunchbox. You might remember me playing with you in a charity softball game a few years ago. I was on your team then, and I'm on your team now.
Oh.
A lot of innocent people get wrongly convicted every day.
Oh, come on.
And it's a shame this happened to you. The Todd I know doesn't deserve to be in prison. Women commit fraud every day with their push-up bras, Spanx, and all that makeup, but they're still out here walking the streets.
What?
But they have you locked up for the next 12 years. Oh, seems crazy if you ask me. I'm heading to Florida in a few weeks, so I wanted to stop in and catch up on life. If you could do me a solid, I need you to add me to your visitor list so I can get past the guards. Let me know if you need me to bring anything and keep your head up. We will get through this together. I will always be the captain of Team Todd. TT for life. Your BFF Lunchbox.
I like
it's
it.
Pretty good.
That's a really good letter.
The only thing I think I would put in there is I really want to come. I mean, you really have to, because he could think it was a joke. He could think you're just kidding with him, like, put me on the list so I can get past the guards. I would just say, I do want to come visit you if that's cool, but I need to be on the list. Like, seriously.
Mm. Like, okay. Seriously. So I should put P.S.? Like,
yeah, P.S. As much as this seemed funny, it was, but I would love to come see you. So let me know if you can put me on the list.
Okay.
There just needs to be a serious line.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Man, that was good, right?
So is it okay that he's, like, lying about the whole being on your side kind of thing?
You know what, Eddie? I don't care.
I mean, he went a little hard on
he
that
did.
One.
Because he's definitely not. He actually did the research that convinced us
exactly.
of the opposite. Because I was like, I don't know. What do I know about this case? Sometimes people in Lunchbox, well, actually, he did it, and here's how why I think that.
Yeah.
Man, so, when you read into it, it did seem like he did it.
Okay, but now you just contradicted yourself. Yeah, see,
I know, but for
TT
the letter.
TT for life.
Yeah, TT for life, man.
Send it off today.
Okay.
And then every week or so, we'll just check in and see if you've got a letter back.
What if he writes back?
Are there any rules? Can you send it next day air to prison? Or do you have to send it regular? Like, is there a rule on the envelopes coming in?
I don't know what kind of packages they can get in prison. Like, can I send a care package? Like, could I send goldfish with it?
No.
Probably not. You have to get
And they're
going to
look at every letter that's sent, obviously.
Oh, yeah. They check it for drugs, everything.
But I wonder if you could just send, because we use stamps.com. Can we just send it, like, UPS?
Like, yeah, that's a good
guy
question.
In the brown truck drives up. This is Todd Chrisley.
You should call the prison and ask him.
I will.
Yeah. Yeah, do that.
Man, that's cool.
We'll check with you in about a week or so. We won't hear anything in a week, but we'll check with you anyway.
Okay.
All right. Nice job.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Brantley Gilbert and Chad Kroeger of Nickelback stopped by the show this week, and it was super interesting. They're going out on tour together, so they were here to talk about that. But, of course, we also had to ask Chad some questions. There's some stories out there about him, and we wanted to know if they were true. And, well, he had some evidence to back up his side of the story. And then, of course, the guitar was sitting in studio, so we did get a few teases of some Nickelback songs. No full performances, but they were definitely cool little moments. And Chad is just super hilarious, and watching the two of them interact was even more fun. So I would suggest listening to this interview right now, but then go watch it on BobbyBones.com because it's also fun to watch.
Number one.
They're walking in right now, but Chad, the lead singer of Nickelback, and Brantley Gilbert are going on tour together. They're both here. Nickelback, they have Photograph. Here's this one. Oh God, I am every memory. They also have Rockstar. Because we all just want to be big rock stars. How You Remind Me. They have Hero. See that a hero. They have so many number ones. Nickelback, I love them. And then Brantley, for example, has Bottoms Up. Tonight is Bottoms Up. So, this is going to be super fun because I don't really know Chad. He's only been on the phone once. And Brantley's always fun. So, let's do it. Chad from Nickelback and Brantley Gilbert coming in the studio right now.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Chad Kroeger from Nickelback and Brantley Gilbert.
Guys, I was hoping both of you would come, just generally both be here, but I didn't know you'd come together in my dream. It's pretty cool. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy. I should say fantasy. Yeah.
That's cool. A hell of a sentence.
Yeah. So, Brantley, good to see you again, buddy.
Good to see you, brother, always.
Chad, we've only spoken on the phone, so it's a real pleasure to meet you. I've been a big
long-time
fan.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, been a fan for a long time. Let me ask the obvious question here. How did you two even meet, or who introduced you, and why did they suggest you go out on tour together? Brantley, you first.
Man, I'll be honest. The first I heard about it was through my manager, and I was stoked like right off the bat. I saw you guys when you came to Nashville, and I was telling somebody this the other day, like, you know, for as long as I can remember, you know, if there was a weekend we were playing a show, so I hadn't really seen that many shows. I'd seen a few, and I'd seen whatever bands were playing with us that weekend or whatever, but I went to his show with Aaron Tannenbaum, and we went and saw you guys at, I think it was Bridgestone, and man, I remember seeing the show and being like, okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's good energy and stuff. And I was already a huge fan, and so when I heard about it from Aaron, like, I was just super stoked, and I was in immediately.
Chad, when did you get introduced to Brantley's music, and have you ever had anyone, because Brantley rides that line and always has. I don't even know what line it is, Brantley. I'll be honest with you.
He's sober.
Yeah.
He just got done saying he's sober. You can't say stuff like that.
Why did you think it was a good idea to put Brantley on with Nickelback?
Well, did you hear what he just... Did you hear all the nice things he just said? I owe you $500 for that, by the way.
Yes.
all day long. I'm just like, money today. He's going to just keep saying stuff like this. I'm going to be broke by the time the day's over. It's just like, cha-ching, cha-ching. We didn't want to go back to the same well that we'd been going to every single time we put an opener on for the last 20 years. There's these same six bands that come up every single time. People have seen that show. People saw that show in 2003. See, people saw that show in 2005, 7, 6, you know, all of it. It's just like, I wanted to try something a little different. I want to expand the horizon. I don't want to give people the same show. And so when Brantley's name came up, we found that very interesting. I think that right off the bat is like, that's interesting. That's
he wanted to see a redneck in the wild. Yeah.
I still want to see a redneck in the wild. Then you know, the conversation progressed and it just went further down the line. And the next thing you know, it's like, you know, I called him. I think I was a little inebriated. I was on a boat in the Bahamas and you were in Montana. I think you were
stuck on a mountain.
You
in
were
the
stuck,
snow.
Yeah, hunting. I think you were trying to shoot something.
A mountain lion. Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, are we doing this? And you're like, I got a lot of wind here. And I'm, yeah, we should do this. I think we should do this. Like, okay, I'll call you when I'm not in a, you know, when I'm not in a boat and when you're not on the side of a mountain in a snowstorm.
We couldn't have been in more opposite places. Yeah, it was awesome. I was stoked.
We had Steven Tyler on in the last couple of years, and we were talking to him because that's a guy who's been successful for a long time, like decade, and there is something to be said for somebody who can stay so relevant for so long and continue making good music. Same thing I would say about you, Chad, and your band.
Thank you.
And I asked Steven Tyler, I said, of all these years, have you ever had an opener that turned out you put them on when they were just a baby and they turned out to be massive? And he said, you know, once we had a guy named Fred who would be he slept in the front of the bus. And I was just trying to figure it out. And it's Freddie Mercury from Queen who opened for Aerosmith. Right. And I was blown away at the story because here's Steven Tyler talking about Freddie Mercury on their bus opening up. Right. And
next question, how old are you, dude?
And all this sustained massive success from you guys, do you have any story like that where you had a baby that came out and they turned into a massive success as well? Or that you guys put on and you're like, wow, you were kind of blown away by seeing what they did at an early stage?
We had to preface it by, it's like, so they discovered Queen. What do you got?
You got me, buddy.
I think, you know, probably, I'm not taking.
Not he wasn't taking credit for Queen. He just said
yeah,
that
I'm not taking credit by any stretch, but like Shinedown went on and just exploded. There was a band that we took with us. We took them to the UK. And now they're selling out arenas all over the UK.
What's Coldplay?
it was not Coldplay. Yeah, and like the band know who they are, and I can't think of their name. And right now they're just yelling at the radio. It's like
Blackstone Cherry.
It's Blackstone Cherry. That's right.
That sounds like God came in from above. Yeah.
700 people all at the same time. They're just like Blackstone Cherry. It's
Brantley,
like this just in.
Same question for you because that happens here. Who was one of your openers early on that blew up?
Man, you know, we've been blessed through the years, and I feel like our team's done a great job of getting folks in front of us that definitely have stuff going on. Man, we had openers like, I mean, Thomas Rhett supported us, Luke Combs, Michael Ray, Kanan Smith, man, just bunches of guys, man, and you know, that's one thing I think that is similar in our worlds, and especially on the touring side of things. It's like, you know, in some ways, for years, we've been able to help people get their foot in the door, right? Especially on the touring side of things. And then, you know, watching them blow up, you kind of feel like you had something to do with it. You know, there's a little pride involved. But
he discovered Shinedown. We just heard.
No,
that's pretty cool.
No, don't do that. Don't do that. That's funny. That's so weird. My phone is vibrating right now, and it's Brent. Brent's like, did you just say? I'm like, no, I didn't.
That was a deep fake. Yeah. The Get Rolling Tour. Brantley is joining Nickelback. Tickets go on sale starting today. We're going to come back with these guys in a second. But today, 10 a.m. local time, so wherever you are. If you're in Boston listening or Vegas, wherever you are locally, 10 a.m., livenation.com, and you guys are doing a lot of shows. Holy moly. See, I mean, this is like touring, because even when I tour as a comedian, I tour like Brantley tours for the most part, which is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, and then I come back home and I do the show. But like when you're in the rock world, sometimes you guys don't come home, right? You just stay gone.
Yeah, you kind of just take a picture of your home, your bed, and you just don't see that for a lot of months. We try not to tour like that anymore. Like when we were, 20 years ago, we went on a lot of Try to Kill Us tours. And they would just, the longest stretch was 18 months.
Oof.
You're just, you're on stage every night. You're hosting the party every night. There's a party backstage every night. Why am I not in rehab?
Yeah.
I should probably.
I feel like I'm in rehab for that story. I need to go just for the story there.
It's not so taboo anymore. The one I went to is pretty good. I'll give you a card.
The Friday Morning Conversation with
Chad Kruger from Nickelback and Brantley Gilbert.
It's weird to hear your name like that, but that's how you say your last name for real?
For real.
But when people started, when it became Chad Kroger, because I have, but. Why
the O really throws, it throws you off. I guess we should put the umlaut back on the, it's a German name.
Did you only just start saying, though, that everyone was saying it wrong, or have you been fighting the fight?
No, because when you start off and you start an interview and someone says, we've got Chad Kroger from Nickelback. This band has sold 50 million records. They've been around for da-da-da-da, and they go down this list of accolades. Chad, how are you? And at that point in time, I'm supposed to say, it's Kruger.
It only takes twice, though, and people learn real quick, though.
No, it doesn't take twice because the fight's been going on for the last 25 years. And I just got to the point where I'm like, whatever. And this, like now with the new PR team that we've hired, they're like, can we start getting people to say your name properly? I was sitting there and I was doing an interview, and Jerry Cantrell from Alice in Chains and I were doing a tour together. And we get to this radio station, and they're like, we got Jerry Cantrell and Chad Kroger. And he stops the interview right there. He goes, it's Kruger. And Buddy's just like, but he did it like in a get his name right bonehead sort of way. And he's like, oh, my bad, I didn't. And then he looks at me and goes, that is your last name, dude. Don't ever let anyone mispronounce your last name. That's your last name. And he like gave it to me right there in the end. I was like, oh, I wasn't that big of a deal. I wasn't really that.
That's a great point.
You're way
more
pissed about this than I am, to be totally honest. But but then it just got to the point where, this was the round of press. You know, this was the time where we were like, all right, we're going to the point where I was going to start wearing shirts in interviews that says, just spell it out phonetically. C-R-E-W, next word, G-E-R. It's Kruger, but I guess we should just put the umlaut back over the O so people have a little bit of a reference point. Because you guys have the big grocery chain down here, and that's why it's, that's why everyone just says Kruger.
That's why?
That's why.
That's probably why I said
if I put a U in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're also wouldn't know what the umlaut really meant. I'll be honest with you. He's like, just put the umlaut, you'll know. And in my head, I'm going, I didn't either.
It's two dots.
Yeah.
Motley Crue. Although they put it over the U, which is still a crew, but they're sort of using it incorrectly. But if you take that, it changes the way that the vowel is supposed to be.
All right, there's your lesson, guys.
Wow. All right.
Brantley, you started playing guitar how old? And where did you get your first guitar?
Man, my first guitar was my dad's. It was like this Yamaha thing. I have no idea when I started, or I think I took like a couple lessons and hated it, and just kind of tried to figure out stuff on my own. But I remember like very hazy, I had that
first
little Fender
song
bender.
You ever learned.
Just going to say.
Because for me, we were talking about this the other day, Eddie and I, for me it was boom, down, down, down. It was Metallica, down, 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 boom.
Nothing else matters.
Nothing else matters because I could look at the
tab. Wait, who got that for 500 points?
Me.
Nice, wow.
And then when it got to House of the Rising Sun, I was like, I'm getting somewhere. There is a house. And I was like, okay, I'm. And then it sucked. But that for me was like, do you remember the first song that you learned as a whatever teenager?
I was like Smoke on the Water.
Oh, that was that one
too. It's that or Crazy Train.
Can you play Smoke on the Water right now? We have a guitar that sits here. Could you play Smoke on the Water? The most are you so advanced that you can't go elementary?
He's already got it plugged up. I told you he was going to figure it out.
Well, we keep it. We do a little something here ourselves.
If you just wanted to.
Oh,
I play. If you're just doing the easy, it's not actually played like that. But that's like, if you're going to teach somebody how to do it, it's just, you know, 1-3-5, 1-3-6-5, 1-3-5-3 open.
Brantley, what was your first one?
I don't know. I still don't know numbers.
You're up, Buttercup.
Man, you know what? Like, I had that little fender bender.
Yeah.
Right after high school, and it made things real hazy, but I guarantee you I couldn't. Yeah, I hit my head pretty hard on a tree, and I don't remember a lot of stuff real well.
From early?
Yeah.
That gives you the best excuse in the world.
Nailed
like
it.
Like the wife is asking to do something. Babe, it was a big tree.
What is the easiest song, Brantley, that you play that when people are learning guitar, they play? Like, what is your easiest song to play? Basically, GCs, Ds, and Es.
Man, I guess One Hell of an Amen kind of be.
Oh, your finger in, though. See, that you'd lose me a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, this is G, D, and A.
Yeah, but you're arpeggiating, though. That's not.
Yeah. Now we're talking. There now we go. Got some solid
campfire,
chords
baby. Campfire. Yeah.
Chad, are you expected it? Let's say you're at a gathering, a party, and there's a guitar. Do they go, Chad, grab the guitar and play something? And what do you play?
But I do this thing where I'll like.
I'm tied up.
I do this like this tease, and I'll be like, like I'll get the guitar. And everyone's like, they want me to, I know, you know, they want me to play like entire songs and get the, and I'll be like, I'm the new standing in line, clubs will never get in. And then I just stop. And then everybody, and then everyone starts, they're like, well, keep going. I'm like, and then I go, never made it as a wise man. I couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a, you know, and then because then everyone else sings for a little bit, and then they realize I've stopped, and then they realize I'm not coming back in.
It's that musical Blue Balls. Hey, dude, if you want to hear something funny for real, if you, oh, that's I great. Forgot. I'm not supposed to say that.
You're
okay. Here.
Yeah, you can. We're good.
I apologize.
No, we're good. We're good.
Did you hear what happened when he played Rockstar a minute ago?
When what happened?
Oh, Chad. Has an inner redneck that he channels when he plays that song.
Right.
It's acoustically,
like,
or full
no,
band?
No, it's like this, because I joked about this in an interview where I said, you know, it's almost like it's a country song, and it's almost like I'm throwing on like the southern thing, and I throw on this thick southern accent and I sing it, but it doesn't sound any different. It just sounds like that's how we record it. I'm through with standing in line, the clubs will never get in, it's like the bottom, and it's just like, oh. It's like, well, that's as thick a twang as I can put on there, but it just sounds exactly like we did.
I was never offended by that song until he did that, and I was like, does he think we can't get in clubs? He's kind of right.
I've taken your perfectly Nashville tuned guitar and just put it in some terrible, you know. Well, that's my favorite thing, though, is just getting like getting people all excited. Like, I'll start a tune just like that, and they're like, oh, I want to, you know, and I look at this, and everyone just starts screaming away, and I just stop.
I bet you can do that at your concerts, though, too, right? Like, the people that love, I mean, can't you just go, I'll do it, and they just sing, they could sing the whole thing, and you could just hit chords.
Hopefully, if my throat's sore, like, I'm, you know, when you just do the, you know, you got this one. And then you just sort of walk around, and they're like, oh, we paid to come to see your show so we could sing to you. Oh, I get it.
Nailed it.
I'm always intrigued by set lists and why you guys put where you put what you put. Brantley, what do you start your show with right now?
We have this little intro jam we do, and then it goes into Kick It.
And then what do you end the show with? And does it matter how good the crowd is if you're headlining? Will you do an encore anyway? Will you say, I'm not doing an encore, but I'm going to stay up here? Well, like, how do you end your shows?
So we kind of started doing this little hybrid thing that's pretty cool. We do like a, so it's kind of like a little mashup. We kind of take it outside into a couple of heavy metal songs, and then not singing them, just the music part, and kind of finish out, and then kind of do this general build back in with like, nah, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. And then go from that into Read Me My Rights and end the show there. But that way it's not like, because at the end of Take It Outside, I like run down and, you know, you've been to a show before. I'll go down and see everybody, tag hands and stuff. And I kind of just go backstage and then they start the build of the goodbye thing and I come back on. So it's not the encore thing, I feel
Stop
like.
Stop telling
is,
people how the show's going to end.
Right. Well, we're changing it for this one. So yeah, that was the last tour.
Wait
so.
Till you see what's coming up on this tour.
What do you guys start with, Chad?
We're going to start off probably with our...
just generally. You don't have to run this one, but like why? Oh. Like what do you generally... Do you start with a hit because you have so many?
We start with the first rock single off of the album that we're pushing. You know, so... You've got the whole, they might not have complete familiarity, but you just walked on stage, so you've got that in your corner. And they're like, yay! And they're like, And then by the end of the song, even if they don't know it, then you just go straight into a hit right after that one. And then at the end of the show, you always end off with a big rocker. You know, don't put them to sleep at the end.
You forgot. The show's only like 90 minutes long, so... Everything they pull out is a hit.
Right.
It's going to be a laundry list of hits.
Can you, this is not the right way to ask a question, but you've played some of these songs so many times, and I'll relate it to me reading a prompter if I'm on TV, and sometimes I just check out. Like, I've done it so many times that it's hard for me to, if I've done it 10th out, can you?
You just go full Ron Burgundy?
Well, it's like, I'll get to the end of it, won't even remember.
Who put a question mark on a teleprompter?
can you get in the middle of one of these songs you've done so many times and like be thinking, okay, when I get home, I need to really get some groceries.
I always say that...
you need to go to Kroger.
I say that re-entry is a so you'll be sitting there and you're like, and you will drift off, and I'm like... What was my second grade teacher's name? And you're just off there, and you're off, and then you're like, I'm standing in front of thousands of people, and then you're like, what verse am I on? And that re-entry thing is like, boom, when you get back, and you're like, where am I? What am I doing? Like, I'm just like, what the hell's going on here? Re-entry is a
Any need for a prompter? Because you have so many songs?
Well, see, you don't want to tell people this stuff, because they're just like, really? Like, when you have 10 albums, have you ever tried to karaoke, like, Rockstar?
No.
Do you know how long? Like, the lyrics are just, it just goes on forever.
Have you tried to karaoke Rockstar?
Yeah, nightly.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't stop. Like,
right.
But you need, like, you just need so much oxygen because there's just no place to breathe. And now, you know, we try to do fun stuff with... We call it like Rockstar Karaoke, and we'll bring people up and I'll say stuff like, you know, and if you forget the words, we've got them written down for you right here. And they just start looking down and it literally just turns into karaoke. So yes.
Urban legend about you. You can tell me if this is true or not.
Oh, be careful.
And here it's an urban legend given to me from a friend who was with you.
Okay.
You were on a boat, maybe the one you mentioned earlier.
Mm.
You ever throw pillows up and then shoot them out of the sky from your boat?
Well,
I hope
close.
This is a yes.
Close. We had a couple AR-15s, and we were in international waters, completely legal. There's the Geneva Convention doesn't say anything about pillows. We weren't trying to shoot them out of the sky, but we'd have people go to the front of the boat and you're just kind of whipping these old pillows off into the, and then we were just shooting the hell out of them. In fact, my security guy, Hawk, who's hiding somewhere. Yes. And I have, I may or may not have video this on me right now.
Yes, it just got you.
Where'd you hear that? Did I tell you this?
You did not. It doesn't matter where. I'll never reveal my sources.
Why are you saying don't tell the story? Why? What? I didn't do anything illegal. There's a
trigger
team
words,
of people.
Jake.
There's They're a team like of people back there just up. Like, don't.
They're about to kick in the door.
I'm showing them the video.
Woke America's angry right now. Did he say AR-15 out loud?
Don't care.
I thought that.
I am triggered.
Yeah.
Brantley doesn't want to look over at Chad's phone just in case what he sees. Because you never want to look at anybody's phone while they're looking for something. Oh, you are. Oh.
Management is losing their mind.
Those poor pillows.
pillows.
Yeah. So I was thinking of like any fish that might be nearby.
Okay. Any fish. Do you know how hard it is to hit anything with a gun? You think you can shoot a fish?
Or, I don't know.
Listen.
It could just be disruptive.
Oh, dude, I never thought it'd be you embroiled in this conversation right now. Like, I could totally find myself in this. But I didn't think you was going to find it.
No, what you don't know about me is I might be twice as redneck as you are. But you just think because I'm Canadian that I don't have any of that in me.
We're going to jail.
We're going to shoot some Tannerite.
Nickelback and Brantley Gilbert. It seems like there will be plenty of pyro. Was that the second name of the tour, just in case? Plenty of pyro. Instead, we're going to go with Get Rolling.
Plenty of pyro.
All over. Tickets on sale 10 a.m. local time, wherever you are, wherever you're listening to us.
Those poor fish.
LiveNation.com, which, by the way, the new San Quentin, awesome. We played that on the show.
Thank you.
My prediction is, if I don't know anything about it, I bet you guys end up doing a song together at some point.
Oh, I guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably sneak up while he's, you know, halfway through.
No, not on stage.
You can't even keep
not
it together.
Not on stage. Are you slobbering over there? Yeah, I'm talking about.
You got him cry laughing. Poor fish.
I was worried about the fish.
I mean, sad for the guppies, and we're over here. So my prediction is he'll end up hopping on a Brantley song at some point.
Oh, I hope so, man. That would be amazing.
That'd be super cool. Well, look, obviously I'm fans of you both. Brantley, love you.
Love you too, buddy.
Brantley's the only guy I've ever called out of respect when I was mad at him, because I was like, got this song. We did the same song. I know you guys didn't steal it, but I'm pissed, but don't beat me up. And then we became friends one day later. I did a comedy song, and he did a song that was very similar, and I know he didn't. There was no stealing of it, but I was just like, I got to go on the air now and say, we didn't steal it from you. And now, and then.
But your song was a joke?
Yes. Well, their song was funny, too.
Ours was.
So we did a song with another country guy named John Party called Nobody Cares About the Opening Act, right? That's what it was?
No.
Oh, you can't say that in a country song.
Okay.
About all the stuff you can't say in a country song. And then Brantley and Toby Keith, they did Worst Country Song of All Time.
I'd like to sit in on that writing session, Things You Can't Say in a Country Song.
Well, we already did it.
Yeah, we just did
it. And so did Brantley. Yeah.
I mean, I've got songs that, like, you can't say that in a rock song.
Yeah, but different. Different.
Like, when I start songs with I Like Your Pants Around Your Feet, everyone's like, there's no way they're going to play that on the radio. I'm like, and we're joking to each other. I'm like, I bet you I can write a song that starts off with, I like your pants around your feet, and I'll bet you we can get it played on the radio. Two records later, I'll bet you that we can put, you look so much cuter with something in your mouth in a song, and we'll get it played on the radio. And they're like, there's no way in hell you're going to do that, and they're going to play it on the radio. Both those songs went to number one at rock radio.
I bet you we can murder someone on a microphone. It continues. He gets bored, so he's like, I bet you.
Mm-hmm. Literally, you told Nickelback they could just jump from higher.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
My point is, Brantley, I love you and respect you. Reason I have any call you and be like, man, now I got to go outside and steal your song. And Brantley's like, if you say anything bad about me, I'm going to whoop your butt. And I'm like, sorry, sir. You, Chad, been a fan forever. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Really cool to spend some time with you. And guys, this is going to be a rocking show. I mean, it's going to be the guitar tone. There'll be no shortage of tone, of guitar tone, strong guitar tone here. So
I just want everybody, like, if you come to, you know, if you come to one of our shows or if you come to this show, my thing is just always like, I want people leaving with that big dumb smile on their face. Just go like that. From start to finish was fantastic.
Yeah.
By the way, I'll keep this a secret too. But my girlfriend saw the opening act last night, and she looked at me and she's like, "He's your opener." And I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Oh." I'm like, "Easy." She's like, "I'm coming to every show." I'm like, good Lord, woman.
Is there a Z in his name?
Yeah, buddy.
That's the deal. Yeah. Okay, look, you two, thank you. Appreciate you coming in. Been awesome to talk to you. Brantley Gilbert and Chad Kruger from Nickelback. Thank you, guys. Go watch the show. The Get Rolling Tour. Tickets on sale today, 10 a.m. local time, livenation.com.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Thank you so much for listening this weekend and hanging out with me every weekend. If you're a consistent Best Bits listener, and I hope you stay if this is your first weekend listening. But I love spending Saturdays with y'all, but particularly with one of the other show members and getting caught up on our lives and just sharing some stories with y'all that maybe didn't make it to the show or we get to share here for different reasons. So this weekend, the part one is with Eddie. And those are always some of my favorite conversations because it's like Eddie's and I once every other month catch up time, and it's super fun for us. So definitely check out Best Bits part one. But again, thank you guys. I hope you have a fabulous weekend. You can follow me on all the things at WebGirlMorgan. You can also follow the show at Bobby Bones Show. It's all up there. Lots of content on both platforms. And I hope you guys enjoy everything. I love y'all. Bye. Yes, Bobby Bones Show.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear. This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.